Welcome back. This is Walking in the Sun and God, and I'm your host, Lissa, and today we actually have a new guest on our show today. So do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Sarah West, and I am a family nurse practitioner, and I work full-time for Dove Medical down in Eugene.
Which I love. That's actually what we're going to talk about, because Dove Medical is Christian-based, is that correct?
Dove Medical is, yes, Christian-based, a faith-based nonprofit clinic, so all of our services are free to the community.
Alrighty. Well, do you want to go in on exactly what Dove Medical does and how you guys incorporate God and everything in it?
Absolutely. So we are a pregnancy diagnosis clinic. So women will come in who most of the time are scared, confused, anxious, sometimes excited that there's an unintended pregnancy, and they are looking for confirmation of that diagnosis. So they'll come in for testing and ultrasound. Since bringing myself, so a nurse practitioner, on a little over a year ago, we have greatly expanded services now at Dove Medical. And so we are now more of a women's health clinic, free okay. clinic. And so we do pregnancy diagnosis and ultrasound, but I also do well woman exams, which is your annual or every 3 years, depending on what is needed, cervical cancer screening, breast cancer screening, some of your basic labs to check for anemia, that sort of thing. And then we do some bridge prenatal care and some mental health care as mm-hmm. well.
All right, that is really yeah. cool. So my first question is, how do you guys incorporate God into it? Do you talk to these women about God, or is it just like your community within there is godly men or women who work there? Like, how do you incorporate
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, I would say a bit or a lot of both, depending on the woman. And so we are open to women of all denominations. You absolutely don't have to be a Christian to come in to see us. All of us have signed a statement of faith. All of us are Christians from various denominations mm-hmm. at my work. We all engage in corporate prayer each morning, so we pray together. We talk about ways. It's amazing. What a supportive environment. And mm-hmm. we talk about ways that we can connect with these women. Our biggest focus is making them feel like they are not alone and that they have time to make a decision. So obviously, being Christians ourselves, we would love for these women to make the decision with their pregnancy to parent mm-hmm. and to not terminate the pregnancy.
Yes.
That's not always the case.
No.
But it is our goal to minister to these women regardless of that. So we also provide post-abortion care and services, which often looks like honestly talking about things. I mean, it also is a physical exam to make sure they haven't lost too much blood.
Yes. But I've heard that there can be major complications after an abortion with blood loss. And
oh, absolutely. And a lot of these women don't get great follow-up care. Maybe they decided to take the abortion pill and they got it via mail order. And so follow-up care is missing. So as far as ministering to them, we really talk about what are your needs, how can we support you? A, you're not alone, and B, you have time to make a decision.
Yeah.
Those are two of our big proponents. How can we come alongside you? You don't need to make a decision today.
Yeah.
And you can kind of slow down, talk through things. So we will offer prayer. We will offer to talk about Christ, but some of these women don't want that,
yeah.
and that's okay,
that's
too.
Okay.
So it is never us. Pregnancy centers get a bad rap. So I think some people think of a pregnancy diagnosis clinic, and they think a woman comes in, you put them in the corner, and you block the exit, and you don't let them leave until they say they're going to parent this child and they're coming to Jesus. And that is not at all how we operate. How we operate is by loving them the same way that Christ loves us. And that sometimes includes a conversation about Jesus and sometimes it doesn't. We really let our patients lead that. We are very unique in the fact that every woman that comes in has a patient advocate assigned to her. That advocate will go through the entire appointment with them. They're kind of like a medical social worker. They don't quite have that certification, so to speak. But they will connect these women with resources, whether it is getting connected with WIC so that they can get additional food during pregnancy and after delivery, whether it's connecting with housing resources, okay, or, that's really cool. You know, connecting them with an OBGYN in the community. It's basically a care coordinator so that they can kind of pursue those next steps outside of our
clinic. I think that also helps with them not feeling like they're alone, because not only do they have, like, you and the other nurses that are there, now they have this, like, care provider also walking through with them. I feel like that really helps with the aloneness of the situation, knowing. And is that care worker usually at the center? Are they Christians as well, or are they brought in from other places?
They are our own employees, and they are Christians as well. And we try to make sure that if a woman comes in for multiple follow-up appointments with me or to see my nursing team, that she has the same person each time. That's really nice. So that it's a friendly face, and it might be, you know, let's say you were one of my advocates, Allie, a patient would come in and see you each time they saw me, each time they came in, and they could even have appointments with you if you were the advocate to talk about any additional resources they needed. We have we call it a boutique. Our advocates help with that, which is why I'm mentioning that. We have a boutique that is full of maternity clothes, nursing supplies, diapers, newborn clothes, even toddler clothes, coats, blankets, that sort of thing, that a pregnant woman could make an appointment with the advocate and just come in and shop the boutique for resources
they need. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys keep Christian material in there as well if they were into that, or is it?
Absolutely. Yes, of course. Absolutely. We do all of our, you know, we have Bibles, devotionals that they can take home. We have a program that they can walk through. Some of our women come in actually to see us for reproductive loss. They've had a miscarriage, or they've had a termination. Both in the medical world are termed reproductive loss because there are feelings of grieving related to either one.
I've heard that there's always, even if it is planned, even with an abortion, they either feel guilt or they still grieve because they just realize what they did, what happened. Even if it's just a natural miscarriage, which is sadly more common than people realize. So
very, very common. A lot of pregnancies, most people don't know that many pregnancies will miscarry if that's going to happen within like the first trimester.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And those women have maybe come to start to accept it, maybe gotten a little excited about parenting, maybe even picked out some names or started to get a nursery ready.
Heard the heartbeat. And then you lose it.
Right. So. And it's a loss. And we tell these women, you know, which all women who have experienced this loss should be told this, but it doesn't matter if you were 6 weeks along or if you had a stillbirth at 8 months along, which is horrible.
Oh, that's terrible.
But both are horrible. So it doesn't, your grief is not comparable to somebody else's. It is just as important. And we can help walk you through that grieving process. Yeah, and that material is Christian as well.
Yes.
So is our, you know, our post-termination, if women want to come see us for processing after an abortion. We also do prenatal education classes, and those are taught from a Christian perspective.
That's really
Again,
nice.
You know, the women that come in, we obviously don't hide it. We have verses up in our clinic.
Yeah, you guys are a Christian clinic, you know, but you're not Christian shoving clinic. It down their throats. You're not going to make them read this stuff or make them go to a church or whatever. It's like you're, and is it like advertised that Dove Medical is Christian based? Like
if you were to look it up, if you were to look up on our website, some of the first things that you will see is that we are a nonprofit and that all of our services are free because we want that out there for women to know, please come see us. If you scroll further down, not that it's hidden, but just if you scroll further down on the website, so to speak, yes, you can see that it is a nonprofit faith-based clinic. We use the term faith-based instead of Christian just because we have people from many, Christian denominations, and so we didn't want to say like Christian. Well, what if it's Protestant versus Lutheran versus Catholic? Baptist. So we use faith-based. Yeah,
I like that. It's. I feel like that can also help because I feel like I hate that how in our world Christian, even though we're in a much more religion accepting world in a way, it's still such a strong term that I feel like can scare people.
Absolutely,
like that's
Absolutely.
A very hard Christian. Like it can. I think it. Is scares people, so when you just say faith-based, it's just it's softer and it's probably actually more inviting to the women.
You know, we try to be as inviting as possible. When we do our prenatal classes, each woman will have a scripture on the table that they sit at each time. We tell them, you are welcome to take this with you. Some women find this very helpful to meditate on, to pray on, or to even have in the delivery room as a point of focus.
Yes.
But if you don't want it, please leave it on the table. Most of our women do take it. A lot of our women will talk to us. Not that we're like these giant role models by any means, but it is not uncommon at all for these women to look at myself, my nursing team, my advocates, and say, what do you have that I don't? Or how are you so calm? Or how have you done this? And then that opens the doorway to say, well, I have Christ. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah. And I love that you guys ask, do you want to hear? Because I know I'm guilty of this. Someone will ask me that, and then I don't even think about asking if they want to hear about it. I just, like, word vomit.
I'm like, here's everything I could tell you.
Here's everything I could possibly tell you. Which, in a way, I think isn't bad, but it's also not as appealing as, can I tell you? Like, asking for their permission and gaining. That's a trust level right there, which I think helps with these prenatal or whatever it is you're doing, because not only can they trust you with that, now they can... They have trust with you with your appointment, but now they also have trust when it comes to talking to you that you're not just going to, like, slam it on them, especially if they're not from, if they're not, if they don't have a faith background, if they're not Christian, and if they're new to Christ. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned we do a little bit of mental health, mostly for our pregnant women, although we see non-pregnant women as well that will come in. I forgot to mention we do, like, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. And so when I do, so we have a program that we call low intensity mental health. It's a term we did not make up. We borrowed from the World Health Organization. But you know, why reinvent the wheel? It is what we do. So low intensity mental health means patients can come see me to talk about depressive symptoms, anxious symptoms,
postpartum,
but not necessarily leave with a diagnosis or a medication. While that is in my wheelhouse as a family nurse practitioner, and I can do that, that would be more on a case-by-case basis. What we like to do, we call them optimal health appointments. These women will come in and talk about, how are some healthy ways that I can maybe manage my increased anxiety during this unintended, unexpected pregnancy.
Without going through the medication.
Right, without going through a huge diagnosis process, or maybe they don't want to be on a medication and that's not what they want to talk about. They want to say, what are some, not that medication absolutely has a time and place, that's not what I'm saying, but
it's not everybody's first choice.
Right. What are some ways that I can take home with me today to try to kind of...
combat it and then discuss medication later if it doesn't work.
If what we are need some... to. Yeah. And so I really love doing that. And that's another way that faith can come into play, because, you know, let's say I'm meeting with you for an optimal health appointment to discuss your anxiety. One of the questions I'm going to ask you is, do you have a faith base? Do you have any spiritual practices? And how do those tie into maybe you helping manage the mood symptoms that you're having?
That's really smart.
It's a huge conversation opener, because sometimes it's an aha moment of, you know, I was raised this way. I've come away from it, but I'd really like to get back to it. And then they might even flip it on me and say, Sarah, do you do anything like that? And then I can say, well, absolutely. Yeah. I have a relationship with Jesus. I do devotions every morning before work. I really, you know, feel like it helps get my head on straight. Do you want to hear more? And maybe I just stop with that. We really like to individualize our appointments so that I'm hoping that each member of my team, including myself, is giving those little tidbits that you need in that moment. And we like to think, you know, even if we're not... you know, it's not every appointment that we're bringing a woman to Christ. It's not every appointment that we have a woman that says, yay, I'm pregnant, I want to parent. You know, that's the golden perfect appointment, right? But which is rare, which is not life. But maybe we're planting a seed.
That's what I was, you're planting a seed.
And maybe that seed doesn't come to fruition until 2 years from now when she's looking at her daughter or son or...
twins or whatever.
Or is in a different place in her life even and is like, oh.
Thinking about that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
do you guys do any midwife services or anything?
Not yet. We are hoping to expand in the next 5 years. So right now we will see women... from pregnancy or even before pregnancy for like well woman services. And if somebody came in, many of our women come in for our free services because they're uninsured or they are underinsured, meaning their insurance won't cover a whole lot yet.
Especially if it's unplanned.
Too. Right. And so we can help. Our advocates will help these women get on the Oregon Health Plan if they need to, or make other accommodations for their insurance. But what a lot of people don't understand is that's not a today thing. You don't come in today and end up on insurance the same day and end up with a prenatal care appointment with an OB the same day.
It takes time.
It can take a couple weeks. It can even, in some patients' cases, let's say they're new to the state of Oregon and they're establishing their residence, they're establishing their job. Licenses. It can even take a couple months.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to get insurance through their employer, maybe instead of the state health plan. So we do what we term bridge care. We try to bridge that gap. I don't deliver babies. I don't see women through their whole pregnancy, but I have been known to provide prenatal care for a couple of months, even until somebody can get into an OB, and then we do a handoff.
Okay.
And then that OB or that nurse midwife will follow that woman through until delivery. Usually it's only an appointment or two until they can get in. But like I've said, we've had women where I've had to see them for 2, 3, 4 prenatal appointments until they can get on insurance.
Just make sure everything's looking good.
Yep. Check the heart rate. Teach them. I do a lot of education. So teach them about what's normal for my body to be doing right now. Yeah. What's normal for my emotions to be doing right now. How is the baby developing right now?
Yeah, because you're a mom yourself, so you've also been through it as well. Like, you have not just the certification experience, you have personal experience.
Absolutely. And I try to bring that in, you know, not over the top to make an appointment about me by any means, but I try to say, do you want to hear about my own experience? Or here are some things I remember that nobody told me about being a brand new mom that might be helpful to know. Because as a mom of now 2 teenagers, a lot of things have changed, but not that many. I mean, it's still a birthing experience. It's still a pregnancy, and I can definitely speak to that.
So that's really cool. So I remember you actually did a presentation at our church.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about a possible way to reverse an abortion.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
What do we got on that? Because I was trying to find the information.
So it's called APR. In medicine, we use a lot of acronyms and abbreviations, but APR stands for abortion pill reversal. It is still a somewhat controversial topic because, well, I won't go too far into that, but legally speaking, a medication, many people think it needs to be FDA approved for its use. And actually, in the world of medicine, that's not entirely true. And I'll explain that in a moment. We can use medications off label, and we do that all the time. Where, for example, let's say I'm a migraine sufferer. I take a medication for seizures that works on migraines. Well, that's off label. But it's a use for it. It's been proven. It works. It's been proven for many, many years. So abortion pill reversal, why it's a little bit of a controversy is, I'll explain the process here. A woman gets, the abortion pill is actually a 2-pill series.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So the first pill.
I'm gonna say your pillows.
The first pill called mifepristone actually stops the progesterone from being absorbed in the uterus. Progesterone is a hormone that women produce that is produced in great supply during pregnancy. And mifepristone blocks that supply, essentially, happening.
It's like an overview of it.
It sustains the pregnancy. Helps the uterus supply all of the blood, the nutrients. The placenta is going to take over the yolk sac, not to get too technical, does some of that. But if you think of it guiding that whole process, it is the guiding hormone for that. So it blocks the progesterone. Well, without the progesterone, nothing that pregnancy moves. Is going to fail. Essentially, that heart is going to stop beating. You're basically, when you block the progesterone, not to get too heavy into it, but you're cutting off the oxygen supply to the little one.
That's a terrible way to go.
And so that's what the first pill does. In the abortion pill.
Is it like a one-dose thing? Or
that's
is it multiple?
One dose, and then a couple days later, you take another pill called Cytotec, and that's misoprostol is the generic name, or Cytotec is the brand name. that causes the uterus to expel. It basically makes a woman have contractions like she's going into labor.
Pre-term labor, like induced.
Yes.
They use it to induce labor. Do you know that? Because my mom had induced labor.
They can use that. They can use a medication called Pitocin to induce or enhance labor. But in this way, it is being used to
expel.
It's basically causing what would happen with a miscarriage with your body. It's causing that delivery.
That is ridiculous that people take that.
So we can't, as of right now, stop the process if the second pill is on board, the one causing the uterine contractions.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd stop that, because if the baby is probably already...
It's causing things to detach and to by pass.
Then. Right. The baby's already passed by then, so it's like, even if you were able to stop that, the baby's still no longer there, so now you have something dead inside you. That's not good, so it's like...
Right, then that has to come out. Now, the mifepristone, the one that blocks the progesterone, that's what we focus on with APR, or abortion pill reversal. What we do is flood the body with progesterone. Now, why it's such a controversy...
Do you have like a time frame on when's the best to do it?
24 to 72 hours. The sooner, the better. Up to 72 hours.
Up to 72 hours. Okay.
Up to 72 hours. So I'm frequently on call, as are my nurses. I mean, we kind of trade off on call, but as are some other providers in the state of Oregon and all over the U.S., there's an APR network that you can be on call for to basically prescribe progesterone. Let's say a woman takes that first pill, a few hours later says, what have I done? I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
They can call that 1-800 number and be connected with a provider or provider team like my nurse. And then they would contact that provider and get a prescription for progesterone. Progesterone is, this is where that off-label comes into play, is maybe technically being used off-label at that point to sustain the pregnancy. We flood the body with progesterone because what that abortion pill is doing is blocking the progesterone.
So you're putting so much we're to trying it to get flood past it.
So if you go into all of our biology anatomy terms, a cell has receptors on it. When you have a progesterone blocker, but then you flood with progesterone, we're trying to detach what's attached to that cell
receptor.
Yeah,
you're trying to overloading it. The blocker can only block so much.
Exactly. So you're detaching it. Progesterone's been used for many, many, many years in obstetrics and gynecology for threatened miscarriage. So you want to carry your child. You're afraid you're miscarrying for whatever reason. Maybe the cervix isn't containing the pregnancy well. An OB is going to put you on a high dose of progesterone.
So we use it
in the same way with abortion pill reversal.
And that would make sense
because
that's what's needed to drive the whole process.
Exactly.
So you got to get back the driving force because otherwise nothing else, like the rest of the system is going to work. So that actually makes sense that would.
So I got to do one back in February and oversee it. And patient's doing well. We got it on board within the first, I want to say it was in like 30 hours. It wasn't in the 24-hour window, but we were well within the 72-hour window.
It's like, okay, maybe we can pull this off.
Right. And she had an ultrasound a few days later. There was still a heartbeat. She's actually kept in touch with me. This was done at, I think she was 9 weeks along when we did it. She is now about 30 weeks along.
So it worked.
She'll deliver this fall. She sent me pictures from her ultrasound a couple months ago when she had the anatomy scan, found out she was having a little girl.
Oh, that's amazing.
This little girl. So she's been kind of keeping in touch, and that's really neat. We had another one a few months ago that
it doesn't always work. No.
We had another one a few months ago that, we got the progesterone on board, and a few hours later she miscarried. Yeah.
Was that a natural miscarriage, do you think? Or did she take the other pill?
She had taken the first pill.
The first one, but she hadn't taken the second one.
She hadn't taken the second one, but it kind of starts that process.
So you could naturally miscarry before you even take the second one.
Our bodies are amazing things. So if the little one is not doing well, is, you know, you've blocked the progesterone, there's maybe not a heartbeat anymore. Our bodies are pretty good about expelling that. That's how a miscarriage in general would work. And so if you've taken that pill,
you've
started the process, and then what we're trying to do is interrupt that process.
Yeah.
So, you know, it works about, I think the latest statistic is like 67% of the time, which is pretty good. It's up to over 80% if it can be within like 12 hours. So there really is a time is of the essence factor.
Which totally makes sense because you are starting a natural miscarriage, like you're starting a miscarriage process. Like you got to catch it earlier before the body really gets rolling. So that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there are other factors too. Like, was this woman maybe going to be prone to something being wrong with the pregnancy that we had no idea?
Because there are some women that are totally healthy first pregnancy and they miscarry for
Whatever reason that we never know, and then they go on to have a very normal healthy pregnancy after
or they
that.
Miscarry two or three times and even though they're healthy women, you don't know. So it's as you said, time is of the essence, and that makes sense. So do you guys, in your jumping a little bit in your mental health care, do you have help for, like, if they lose it in lose the baby in a miscarriage or have an abortion or go through this process and it doesn't work? Do you have mental care for that?
So a lot of that ends up being with one of our advocates. They can see me as well for that, but we have, you know, a whole actual series if they want to go through it on the reproductive loss, where they are walked through each step of the grieving process. Yeah. And that's been very beneficial for a lot of our women. Some will come the whole time and continue to come see us, even, you know, for check-ins after that. Other women come once or twice and then they kind of drop off, and you hope they got what they needed out of it.
Or at least got some sort of, like you said earlier, a seed in their mind, even if it's not a seed about Christ, at least a seed about the care, and maybe within those one or two appointments saw the baby on an ultrasound. You're just like hoping that they saw the baby or heard the heartbeat. It's like, okay, now you've actually seen it. You've heard it.
Yes.
It's not just like, oh, there's a baby, but I haven't seen it or heard it or felt it yet, and I've seen it now, so maybe it might change.
And ultrasound is powerful. I like that you brought that up. That's one of the reasons that, you know, somebody comes in for a pregnancy test, we will try to do an ultrasound that same day or within that week if they're far enough along.
Because you can see the baby.
Yep, 5 weeks, 3 days in, usually we can see the heart beating. You can't hear it yet at that point, but you can see the flutter on the screen. Sometimes if they're a little too early, we'll have to schedule them to come back a week later or even 2 weeks later, which makes a huge difference on ultrasound that early in. Mm-hmm. But it's very powerful. We never make the women look. That's another choice. So they have a choice about everything. Our entire process is set up. Where do you want to sit here? Do you want to look at the screen? When I'm doing an ultrasound, or both my nurses are trained in ultrasound, we have our screen, which the patient can't readily see from where they're laying. And then we have it projected on a big TV screen in the corner. It's purposely in the corner, so the woman has to turn her head and look at it if she wants to.
That way she doesn't have to look. It's not like she looks up and see it. It's her choice to look.
It's her choice to look. We can turn it off. We have had women say, I'd like you to turn the screen off. That's fine. We've had women stare at it the entire time.
Because now they've seen the baby. And it's like,
it's often a very emotional thing. We, you know, their partners will come in often if there is a partner that wants to be involved.
That wants to be around, or is at least around at that time.
Right.
Hoping they stick around.
And, you know, sometimes it's very powerful for those dads to be, too. It's not unheard of for the guy to be like, okay, we're going to do this.
Like, that's my kid.
Right.
Like,
do you see we're going to do this? And that doesn't get talked about a lot, you know, father's involvement, but that's an important piece of the whole puzzle, is the woman feeling supported.
Yes.
And also
not going in alone, like you mentioned at the beginning of this.
Yeah, not going it alone. And
all the difference.
Sometimes these men, they'll say, you know, it's to us privately, like while their girlfriend or fiance or wife or whatever is getting changed, they'll say to us, I really want her to keep it, but I don't feel like that's any of my business, so I'm not going to say that. And I'm not saying that they should pressure this woman in any way, shape, or form either way, but I think they should share how they feel.
At least share, yeah. Because,
you know,
going back to the Christian roots, God designed us to work hand in hand, male and female, and it takes male and female to even make the kid in the first place. So I feel like it's not forcing the woman, but I feel like the woman should at least extend enough grace to at least let the man say their piece.
Have
a voice and just see where they stand on this. Because you have to remember, ladies out here, if you're listening, it is their kid, too. Like, yes, you are carrying it. Yes, you are going through the pregnancy, but it's still their kid.
Absolutely. And father's rights don't get talked about a lot. And I feel like it's terrible in today's day and age. I feel like even saying that phrase on a podcast that I'm going to have things like thrown at me for saying father's rights. But you know what? Those listeners out there, fathers should have some rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, these men who have an opinion, I just wish they would speak up, because often, not always, but often, that's what that woman is looking to hear is, I want this, I will be here, yeah. I support you, I'm going to be here, that's yeah. a big one,
like,
you know?
I'm gonna be here, like, yeah. I want it, like, we did this, we're in this together, yes. this is where I stand, and that makes all the difference, yes. I feel like, knowing that they are not alone.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the men will voice their opinion privately, and then the woman will say, like, I have no idea where he stands on this. And you just want to pull out your hair and be like, talk to each other.
Yeah.
So.
Would you guys share it? Like, if you were told privately, would you share with the woman? Or would you at least say, maybe you should talk to him?
I would encourage them to talk about it, but I wouldn't share.
Wouldn't share anything privately.
If it was, yeah, if it was said privately, I wouldn't share. I might say, you know, this sounds like a conversation you have. Or I might, as a healthcare provider, there's a certain leeway we have where I might even gently put them on the spot and say, you know, Tom or whoever, how are you feeling about this?
I kind of like that. So, it's a little sneaky, and some people might frown upon that, but yeah. they still have an opinion. And again, it can make all the difference, like, especially mm-hmm. if they are sticking around and they are around. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a one, quote, one person thing. Right. It's both of them plus you guys, so it's like, there has to be that communication.
There has to be communication, and, you know, they can always tell me, well, that's none of your business, and I will respect that.
Yeah.
I try very hard in a short time, or especially if I'm seeing women more than once, but even in a short time, a 30-minute, hour-long appointment to develop enough rapport that they know that I'm not judgmental, no matter what is decided. This is a safe place. You can mm-hmm. say what you want to in front of me. But also, there is a little bit of accountability. I am a medical provider. I'm going to say, what do you think about this? What are you thinking? How can we help? These are yeah. questions I want you thinking about. When I meet with young couples, or even if it's the woman on their own, I'll say, here's a whole list of things to think about before the baby comes. Do you want to talk about these?
Yeah.
And just as discussion points, especially with couples, I call it, you know, conversations to have before baby comes. And it's things from as silly as who's going to post what on social media, because believe it or not, couples fight about that all the time. Like,
what?
I didn't want pictures up yet, or I didn't, you know, and it's like, yeah. they'll laugh. And then I say that and they're like, yeah, okay, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
But all to, like, who's going to cook dinner the first few nights? Who's going to take care of the pets or the vacuuming when you're bringing a new baby home? Because these are...
Who's night feeding tonight?
Right. These are expectations that I feel like couples think they're just going to come all together. And it doesn't just come together. You got to talk about it. You can't expect... I think a lot of the women like expect, well, I have this child. You should feed me dinner. Fair enough. But did you say that?
Yes.
Did you decide on that?
Yeah.
Because
if you're just forcing it and just like kind of demanding right. it.
Or if he doesn't know, he's like happily clueless over there like, oh, you got yeah. this. And she's like, no, I don't have this.
Yeah, like, I'm obviously not a mom. I mean, I'm 17. My parents would, they'd kill me, but they wouldn't kill me. But I have younger cousins. I actually have a cousin who's 6 weeks. So I've seen mm-hmm. just kind of on the outskirts. And I have another cousin who's 2 and another one who's 7. So for 3 of them now, I've yeah. kind of seen some of the stuff on the outside. And I see how important that communication becomes, and how important right. like the OBGYN is, and the prenatal mm-hmm. care is. My aunt, especially, because she was a little bit older having right. her kid. She's right. in her 40s. So there was a little bit more concern.
Absolutely.
And having that care, I think, really helped them, and really mm-hmm. monitoring, like, the baby and stuff. My mm-hmm. Newest cousin, I won't say her name just for privacy reasons, because my aunt was a little bit older, they were a little concerned. Baby girl wasn't, she's totally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a miracle. She's totally healthy, but she was really small.
Yeah.
My aunt at 8 months looked like she was 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was just very small, which is weird considering how much the other two had stretched her out. Like, stretched the uterine out.
Right, right.
The other two moved a lot. The boys moved so much. So they were just kind of, like, watching that because baby wasn't just as big. It's mm-hmm. like, I was 5 pounds even. I was 5.5 weeks early and 5 pounds even. Baby girl is 5'8". So mm-hmm. very close to what I was. And I was 5 weeks early. And there
right.
So, but having that care and then that communication of, okay, because they both work. They have the other boys. They have the dog, and they're renting and all this stuff. The communication is important. I think them also having, this is just a Christian thing I'm throwing out there, I think the faith and the help of their church and of their family, because we all are Christians and we have that bond, helps a lot within the craziness of it.
Absolutely. This is one of the things I've been trying to encourage our women, especially during the prenatal classes that I get to help run, is, okay, I'm going to throw America under the bus for a moment.
Go for it.
Love my country. So again, people don't need to find me and throw things at me. But,
please do not, guys. Like, be respectful.
But, you know, somewhere along the way, we decided to be so independent that it is hurting people. We are living in isolation. We are raising our children in isolation. And it's no wonder that our postpartum depression, our anxiety rates are so high and keep going higher and higher every year. In many other cultures, even to this day, and how it used to be in America, is it literally takes a village to raise a child. There's a reason that's a saying.
Yes, it does.
I mean, in other cultures, the woman will move in with her parents, so the grandparents, a month before delivery, stay there for a few months after. Her mother, so grandma, will basically wait on her hand and foot, teach her the basics of breastfeeding and taking care of little one when little one's born, before she even moves into her home again with her husband, who can be there as much as he wants. It's not about them being separate. It's about her having the additional help. And we've come so far away from that, that these young moms I see feel like they don't have this village.
Yeah.
But if they can be connected with a faith base, with a church, with close relationships with their families, if they can form new relationships with other expecting women, so that they have a network of people that they can talk to about, hey, is this normal? Hey, what do I do when my baby does this? Hey, can you come over for a few hours so I can run to the store?
Can I take a shower?
Right, exactly. We don't have to do this alone.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge message is, you know, take all the help that you not only need, but all the help that you should have.
Yeah,
exactly. All the help that you should have.
So I've only got two more questions and we'll wrap this up. Yeah. My first one is, do you guys do like baby nurses or anything? Do you guys have a program for that or no?
We don't. So we don't have that in place right now. We do a tiny bit of postpartum currently, which we do like what we call a mom and baby check-in. And our bridge care services are never to take the place of like an OBGYN or a primary care provider or a pediatrician. But as we know, people often forget what they've heard in their doctor's office or another question comes up and then they don't have an appointment for a few weeks later. So we do what's called a mom and baby check-in, where mom and little one can come in and see me and she can ask all those questions she forgot to ask the pediatrian. I can make sure baby is gaining weight accordingly, can see how breastfeeding's going. So we do offer that. And then I can get on the phone if I have a concern. I'll be on the phone with that pediatrician saying, hey, when are you seeing this little one again? Because they came in, I'm concerned about the weight.
And you can help maybe get them an appointment quicker if there is a concern. Because if anyone has ever booked a doctor's appointment, it takes forever.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Certainly can. So absolutely. You know, we're hoping to expand more in that area and maybe even get like a lactation consultant on site to help women with breastfeeding. But right now, that's what we have in place.
All right.
Yeah.
Quick, I kind of lied. Two questions. Just, you mentioned the midwife thing earlier, this bounced in my head. Would you be interested in being a midwife if you guys bring that on?
That's a great question, but no.
No.
So I'm trained in family medicine, and I did some additional work in mental health about halfway through my like mental health nurse practitioner certification, kind of took a big break to take this job where I'm at now. I think if we were going to expand further into mental health, I would probably be the go-to for
the mental health.
Love working with moms, love working with babies and children and families. I think it's really, really, it's really gratifying to do that. I don't want to be the one delivering the babies. No. I don't think that's for me. And a lot of it, honestly, is the season of life I'm in right now. So I may have a very different answer for you if you ask me in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, whenever it comes around.
But with my kids being in high school right now, midwives are on call often.
I was about to say, you don't have really the
wherewithal. Yeah, I don't have the capacity.
Run out at 3 a.m. for a midwife call.
I love my job. It does come, you know, probably in the top 5 most important things in my life, but my family definitely comes above above my work, and so I think it would be really hard to be on call.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I know that feeling. Me and my dad both know that feeling. So, so my last question is, if a woman is now interested in Christ and has like accepted Christ, do you guys help them get plugged into any churches or anything?
Yes, that's a great question. So we have a great resource list that all of our advocates keep handy that isn't just a list. I like to kind of think of it as a living list, so to speak. But yes, it has numbers and names on it that people can call, but our advocates will go as far as saying, here's a church. I know so-and-so who runs this. Can I get on the phone, you know, with them right now and connect you? And if not, that's okay too. Here's information on where they meet. You know, and the same thing with our other resources. They'll get on the phone with the women and help hook them up with insurance and whatnot so that it's not putting it all on you as a patient to figure it out, because if you could have figured it out on your own, not that you couldn't, but it can just be so overwhelming.
In that
it's time. Nice to have somebody say, let's call together. So in that same way, we have, here are some churches. Here's one that so-and-so in our clinic goes to. Would you like to come check it out on Sunday? So we absolutely not only can do that, but we have a list of resources as well. And even people in the churches that we can plug them into and say, if you go this Sunday, look for Susie. She'll be there. Because we have many, many connections with all of the local churches, as you can imagine, which is amazing.
That is absolutely amazing, and I love that. So yeah. I have like a million more questions, but this is getting a little bit of a longer episode. We might someday do a part 2, especially as your clinic grows and stuff.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm going to close out in a quick prayer, and we'll wrap this up. So
thank you.
Yes, of course. So Lord, I just come before you tonight, and I thank you for Sarah here and what she's doing, Lord, and that you gave her a way to work at this clinic, Lord, that is focused in your word and is able to provide the help that these women need and that their babies need as well. And I pray that your spirit will just continue to flow, not only through Sarah, but just throughout the whole clinic, Lord, and that any of those seeds that you've planted, Lord, even if they don't fully grow, that the women will at least remember it down the road, Lord, and then you can do work. Work your magic, because that's kind of what it is. So, again, Lord, we just thank you. And yeah, it's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you for coming on here and letting me. This wasn't just for you guys. Like, I actually had all these questions I was going to ask you anyway. I was like, this is actually be a great podcast.
Well, episode. Make it on there. Yeah.
And get this out there. So maybe if any of these women are listening and are curious about this, you might get some new clients or whatever.
Eugene, look us up. We're happy to see you.
All right. Well, we're going to take off, guys. So we'll see you next time. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.